Freezing rain and snow in the Northeast have blocked millions of people from returning home after the Thanksgiving holiday. Airlines canceled or delayed thousands of flights in anticipation of the weather. But while humans can make plans to stay safe during a storm, our animal friends aren't always so lucky. For more, we're joined by Steve Ranella. He's an outdoorsman and writer and the host of the Netflix show Meat Eater. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
So when a storm system is headed towards a place, we humans have very sophisticated weather forecasting that often gives us enough time to make preparations, maybe evacuate. What kind of capacity do animals have to sense and avoid storms?
Man, you know, it really depends, it seems, on the kind of animal. Definitely fish have a lot of sensitivity to barometric pressure. And there were some studies that they worked on in Florida where they happened to have some sharks that were wearing the shark equivalent of a radio collar, right? Mm-hmm. And ahead of Hurricane Gabriel in 2001, they had 14 black-tipped sharks that were wearing transmitters. And all 14 of them moved out to deep water off the coast of Florida ahead of Hurricane Gabriel. But then there's other species that just seems to not really care. When Hurricane Irma came through in 2017, and this hurricane happened to pass 13 miles away from a deer study area, 135 mile an hour winds, 12 inches of rain, right? And they had 60 deer wearing GPS collars. Not only were none of those deer killed, none of those deer changed their tune. They acted on that day, the day that it made landfall, they acted just like they always act. And they just went about their business like nothing was going on.
Okay, so, but for the animals that do notice that something is about to happen, apparently, do you think that it is about barometric pressure and that pressure dropping and they know that they've got to move?
That's the idea that most people have. And it seems like fish are especially in tune to it. You know, the fish have a thing called a lateral line where they can, where they sense pressure and can detect pressure changes. That could be movement in the water near them, but other things as well. And some fish seem to become active and like to feed when there is a high pressure system. Other fish, a high pressure system might send them off. But it seems to be that it would be barometric pressure. You know, that's usually something that we, with our instrumentation, that we can monitor and notice that we have a change in barometric pressure ahead of a storm. If it's not that, it's something that we don't yet understand about what it could be that they're picking up on and looking at. There were some wild horse herds in the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and people were watching these horses and very worried about what would happen when Hurricane Dorian came through. And people noticed that ahead of the storm, it seemed that the horses were moving to higher ground and gathering up in clusters. Because one of the things the horses will do is they'll gather up in groups, maybe to stabilize one another, and they'll face with their rumps into the wind. And they were seeing this activity on the Outer Banks with some of these wild horse herds ahead of the storm. But in one case on Cedar Island, even that didn't save these horses, because there's a herd of 49 horses on Cedar Island. 28 of them were killed by a storm surge from Dorian. So even though they seemed to detect that it was coming and took the right steps, it wasn't enough. But there are certain species that wind up being great winners from storms. There had always been Burmese pythons in the Everglades, maybe going back to the 70s. But that number jumped tremendously after some hurricanes destroyed some captive wildlife facilities and freed Burmese pythons, and maybe enough of them to hit a sort of critical mass and allow Burmese pythons to really take hold in the Everglades.
That brings us to another phenomenon that happens, which is that sometimes, because of storms, animals are picked up and moved by waterspouts, right? Like there could be frogs that don't usually fly that end up flying and moving around in a storm.
Yeah, that does happen. It doesn't happen to the degree to which we sort of as a society would like to dream of it happening. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Magnolia, which ends with this fantastic storm of bullfrogs. But there are cases. I mean, even in 1877, the New York Times reported on 8 alligators about 12 inches long being dumped within 200 yards near the Savannah River. So I think on one hand, you can look and a storm can come and one can feel empathy and pity in the short term for individual animals that could be, you know, suffer some kind of catastrophe and die in mass numbers. But it also, there's this little bit of solace that can be found in the idea that these big storms and these events are things that also distribute animals in some way, allowing species to move beyond their geographic range and, you know, discover new places and evolve into new beautiful things down the road. I guess from a global sort of wildlife perspective, it's a bittersweet occurrence when we have massive weather events.
Well, so let me ask you then finally, with climate change making these storms more frequent and more severe, is that more bitter or more sweet for some of the animals who are going to be affected by them?
Well, I mean, there you get into, you know, a very large question. And global climate change, even if it does result in some distribution of species around, life is not able to evolve quickly enough to be commensurate with the destruction that we would see in cases of the Arctic warming, the oceans acidifying, the oceans warming. I personally can't look to species distribution as being a bright spot in a climate change scenario. But, you know, it's almost taboo to say this, but there will be certain species that win from global climate change, that animals that maybe are restricted in their northern movements because of severe winters, and as temperatures change, they'll become big winners. And some part of us might someday look and celebrate those winners. But it's hard to find anything that, like, in a holistic sense seems optimistic or great to look forward to for wildlife in terms of scenarios in which we have more and more severe weather and more changes on our planet.
Well, and as somebody who spends so much time in the outdoors and focusing on wildlife, and when we hear about these things, I think people think, oh, wow, these animals, they're smarter and more interesting than I thought. But do you think that humans have enough of an appreciation for the other species on this planet?
You know, on whole, as a culture, I would say that we're suffering from some dissociation with the natural world. You know, we're increasingly urbanized. I do worry about what that will mean in the future for the conservation movement, if in fact people do move away from the natural world and become less interested in preserving it. I think that that has implications. But all in all, I find, like, in my social circles or the people I spend a lot of time with, they tend to be infatuated with animals. And that infatuation will oftentimes lead people to think that they're actually smarter than we are, or more capable or more adaptive, you know, and better evolved to cope. But again and again, you're reminded of places and times where animals just make mistakes. And that's an interesting thing to think about with animals, is that they can hit a certain age, certain, you know, different species, like a deer can hit 20 years of age, but they oftentimes make a mistake way before that happens and don't live that long. And I think that it's interesting to start and look at wildlife in that way, as things like individuals who are out there, you know, attempting to cope with a constantly changing environment and constantly evolving threats.
Well, I have to say, I've always loved animals, but as soon as I got a dog, I see all animals in a new way now, because I understand just what you're saying, that they are individuals that are just living in this world in the same way that we are.
Yes.
That is Steve Rinella, who is an outdoorsman and host of the Netflix show Meat Eater. Steve, thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.